Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan. I am solo this time. Sean is not joining me live in this episode, but if you've listened to Audio Face for a while, you understand that before artists come out with new music, especially really big artists, we like to do preview episodes so we can give people kind of a preview of their discography so we kind of know what to expect before we review the new project. And if you are an Audio Face listener for a long period of time, then it's definitely no secret that I, Dan, am a huge fan of Gorillaz. They're definitely my favorite band, and I'm first to admit that they're far from perfect, but the scope, ambition, and overall consistent quality of the project throughout almost 20 years is something that very few bands achieve. And it's really even weird calling Gorillaz a band because it's an animated series, it's a touring orchestra, it's got its own lore, it's a global marketing machine, and in my opinion, it's the truest celebration of the art of contemporary music. And that's why I like them so much. We do these bonus episodes to give people an idea of what music is coming out in the future so they're on the same page with us. But since we did a bonus episode about Gorillaz already and we reviewed the Gorillaz Now album, we're going to do a little bit of a retrospective thing. We're going to play the retrospective of Gorillaz to get the entire scope of that in a few moments, but that will be updated with music samples that weren't in the original episode. So as we talk about the songs, you'll be able to hear them. I think that's the way... There's a reason I produce Audio Face this way. I think it sounds cooler, so you'll get to hear that updated for the first time. And then after we play through that, we will play through the Now review that Sean and I did in 2018, again, updated with music samples. So that way you will be caught up to us just about with the Gorillaz project. Now, Gorillaz are coming out with Song Machine. It is the Song Machine season one, I guess. It is the latest in the Gorillaz project, and it's a very interesting thing. The concept of cutting up your album and releasing it one song at a time over the course of several months to build up hype is a very interesting thing to do when you're re-releasing music or releasing music to begin with. It's an extremely interesting thing to do during COVID when you can't do the traditional things artists do to support their upcoming albums, such as touring or any of those sort of live events. So it's been an interesting thing. There's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about Gorillaz. I could probably make this podcast about Gorillaz alone, but if you want to listen to a Gorillaz-only podcast, there's one called Hallelujah Monkeys that's pretty good. Nevertheless, we will have the retrospective of Gorillaz. We will have the Now review. I will then return with some thoughts in later on this podcast about Song Machine as a whole, or as few of those thoughts that I can manage to give. And that'll be the bonus episode. So let's get right into that. Before we do, though, make sure you are subscribed to Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram, on YouTube, or wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss new content when we put it out. We're going to be reviewing a lot of cool things this year, including new Gorillaz, including other artists we've done bonus episodes for, like Biba Doobie. So make sure you check that out so you don't miss any of the cool stuff we're doing. Thank you for listening with us, music-wise, as always. And here is that updated version of our Gorillaz retrospective review. Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face. This is episode... This is a bonus episode. I just said something really saucy because this has been a really edgy day.
Jesus.
And I just started straight into the episode without Sean really noticing, so I just caught him blindsided. This is why you should have started the episode.
You didn't give me a countdown, so...
This is one of our bonus episodes where we're doing it in addition to our last episode, which is episode 54, I want to say. Or was it 53?
It was 54.
It was 54. Yes, that's correct. And I'm just checking right now because I'm paranoid.
But it's 54.
It's 54.
I know my podcast. Yes. I have my alarm set every Monday.
The people aren't here for us complaining about the fact that we're podcasting at 9:30 p.m. on a Tuesday after we both had a really long day. But people are here for the fact that we are doing...
Can we have our therapy session, Dan from the Intercourse, one day? Like, just, this is rough. It's rough in the streets. It's a damn shame.
But enough about Sean's love life.
Let's talk about the Gorillaz.
Never say the Gorillaz around me. I have a specific thing about the being put in front of their name Gorillaz because it's just Gorillaz. But we will be. It's like Radiohead's my favorite song is Creep. It's like meeting those people. Right, it's rough.
I'm just being grammatically correct, but okay. I'm not. It's not like the 1975 where it's in their name. Because if someone says, listen to 1975, that sounds weird.
Right. Gorillas to the 1975. Yes, La Brea Tar Pits. One of those tautological names. Anyways, so gorillas is a very interesting concept because you could be describing the cartoon characters. You could be describing the two people kind of behind the project.
Describe Damon Albarn's constant wailing on the iPad.
You could describe
robot
Jamie
video game beats.
You could describe Jamie Hewlett's very provocative, like edgy cartoon stylings. But that's all gorillas, and so
Murdoch's dick.
That's happened a couple times. Not this phase though.
Not this phase. He's cleaned up. He's cleaned up his act.
I mean, he's in prison.
He says, "Yeah, exactly." He's having to pay up.
But Jesus, gorillas is my favorite band, legitimately. So this is gonna be fun to talk about. But they're releasing a new album at the end of this week. When we're recording this, called The Now Now.
The Yetz Yetz.
And shout out to we got like 8 German listeners now.
Something like that.
Shout out to that. But Gorillaz started as a project of two roommates, Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett. They were roommates in England. Damon Albarn was in Blur at the time. Jamie Hewlett was a popular artist known for doing a graphic novel called Tank Girl. And they're both kind of angry with music media, music culture.
Yeah, what does this sound like?
MTV. It's a really interesting story here.
Don't go in the garage.
Don't sleep.
Don't go in the garage.
In this, the first Gorillaz song was a demo off of Blur's album 13. And I think it was called I've Got the Law. Yeah. It was on the Japanese version of Blur's album. And that little demo on like a little 4-track thing became Tomorrow Comes Today. Which was the first single and the first music video for Gorillaz that was made in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
They had no notice whatsoever. They're like, okay, EMI has given us the money, let's do this. And then they came out with their single Clint Eastwood, which kind of was their first major hit. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag, I'm useless. Not for long, the future is coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on. The essence, the basics, without it you make it. Allow me to make this childlike in nature. Rhythm, you have it or you don't, that's a fallacy, I'm in them. Especially in England, especially in the US, it blended this kind of, it was pop, but not in like a bubblegum way.
Rock.
Rap. Alternative rock with a mainly rap part with a singing chorus. And at that time it came out in like
rhythm,
the early 2000s.
I said rhythm, you have it or you don't.
That's a fallacy. I love that song. And yeah, they just popped onto the scene. Originally, Gorillaz were very careful about showing themselves as humans. They always represent themselves as the cartoon characters. The first time Gorillaz went on tour,
they had the screens up and everything.
Yeah, it was a screen. They were performing behind basically a projector screen that projected little images of the characters while they're performing live behind.
I love that. That was so cool.
And there are a couple of
Don't ever forget Sean Ryder coming on stage drunker than a dick.
That was for Demon Days. I'm not even there yet.
I know, but just never forget.
That's so much of Gorillaz is beautiful. But The first Gorillaz album wasn't very collaborator heavy, and a lot of what Gorillaz became/has become potentially is about the collaborations that kind of make up the project. And so the first album came out in 2001. It was about 1 hour and 9 minutes long, and I think it's one of the It's between this and Humans that I would say are the weirdest album, or like the hardest albums of Gorillaz to get into, I would say, because there's a lot of range here. You can definitely tell in their first album, they're kind of trying out a bunch of different sounds and things they're going for. Nonetheless, it all came out pretty solid.
Yeah, I think Humans is so hard to get into, but
we'll get there.
We'll get there.
I also want, like, their second song on the album was 5-4, a song that was done to be poppy and punky, but in a different time signature. Matcha for me, matcha for me food. With matching money, PayPal sent to war for you. And that's how you can tell, among all the other things, that Gorillaz was really a band that was trying to experiment a little bit, do different things. And
dude, the Sean Audioface rule of do something fucking different. Chairman Sean.
Chairman award. Sean's award for doing something fucking different. And they're
not getting in this year.
They're not Radiohead by any means experimental. They've never gone that far, I would say. But they're doing a lot more differently and doing a lot more genre melding.
Definitely genre melding. And that's the biggest thing that makes them very unique. It's the fact that they can blend so many genres in one thing and not make it a mess. Which is rare, because sometimes people genre bend and it's like, this is god-awful. This is donkey shit on a platter.
And then you get people who think that genre blending was invented by XXXTentacion.
Fucking A, I was literally about to say that, and I was going to say something really bad, but no editing, so you're welcome.
And no editing, and we talked about it in previous episodes that you should listen to. We're on Spotify now.
Yeah, we are on Spotify.
We're on Spotify.
I wish you saw that. I opened my mouth like 3 times, and like my brain said no, no, no.
It's weird in between after Gorillaz, because the main Gorillaz albums didn't come out between, like, there are 5-year spans in between them. And there are also stories about the characters that are created by Jamie Hewlett and the band to kind of wrap everything together.
Yeah, so like different eras of, of the albums, like the 1975 eras. I love it when bands do that.
Yeah, because it's reinventing yourself and what you're doing with your sound. Mm-hmm. Not only with the music, but thematically what's around it. And with Gorillaz, it just goes super heavy. All this lore. And unlike a lot of cartoons, Jamie Hewlett wanted to make sure the Gorillaz never were static. They're always wearing different clothes. They are drawn in different styles with every single generation.
Yeah, the first style of the Gorillaz self-titled album is super 2D flat, really flat style, and now you have 3D.
Yeah,
like they're and that changes from album to album. Like their color will be a little different. One time Noodle will just be a robot or some shit.
Oh, that's god.
So it's fun. I love the story of the characters.
Yeah, it's
very unique and different.
Yeah, it's never. It's always something a little bit random and off the cuff, and that's just the style they go with, which I like. And so there are a couple little side products that were done, like Laika Come Home, which was like a dub reggae remix of all of the original songs from the self-titled Gorillaz album. There were G-sides, which were like B-sides and some remixes to some of the Gorillaz songs,
some fucking
which also contained the 19-2000 Soul Child remix, which I think is one of the few remixes better than the original song. Get the cool, get the cool to shine. Get the cool. Yeah. Then we hit 2005 with Demon Days, which we talked about the best alternative albums ever made a couple reviews episodes back when we talked about the Arctic Monkeys, and we talked about AM. But the gold standard that AM has to sit around among is like Demon Days.
Demon Days and Rainbows and a couple others are like some of the best alternative rock albums ever.
Legendary.
Demon Days is one of the best just albums, period, in general, of any band. For every single song creates a story and they are all linked together.
Yeah.
I mean, if there are plenty of people that like the Gorillaz, and they think of the Gorillaz as Demon Days. I remember as a kid growing up, when Demon Days came out, how that was huge. It brought the band to, you know, really big in the States, even bigger than before, and really
Feel Good Inc. was a big hit.
That wasn't their one-hit wonder, which is not. There's so many other songs, but Demon Days really exploded them to people started to really look into the lore of the band, lore of the story of all the characters that they have. And I mean, to this day, so many people listen to the album. You see people wearing on the streets with the shirts of Demon Days, or like different little.
The four boxes of the characters.
Yeah, the characters. There's some people put play on that with different stuff like Star Wars ones or whatever of Demon Days. It's such an influential album to so many people, and for good reason. It's head to toe, everything flows, and it ends with some of the two most beautiful songs ever like written.
Demon Days has everything I want in an album. Like mm-hmm. It begins and ends the same way. It has the same kind of constraint with the same kind of range. Like it's like music at its best form.
It really
honestly
is.
And I can't, it's hard. I mean, I kind of don't try with episodes like this with our biases, I guess, because we're talking about bands we really care about. We have this time growing up with, and I like grew up seeing Gorillaz. I've seen them every single phase they've gone on tour since like the Brit Awards when they performed. I was like 5 or 6 to Escape the Plastic Beach Tour, Demon Days Live,
Demon Days. And
the last one. Humans,
but we went to see Humans.
Yeah. God, and so around the storyline, long story short, with the characters, the story was Noodle died in the video for El Manana.
Yep.
Sort of. Murdoch kind of let all of his vices get to him, and he was on the run from the law, which is a recurring factor.
Which is the ever theme of Murdoch.
Russell disappears because he's being possessed by demons who sometimes manifest as the collaborators for Gorillaz, and other times just like fuck him up. And then 2D is just kind of lost in general.
2D is weird.
Yeah, they reconvene on Plastic Beach, which is
2010 album.
Yeah, the 2010 album. It's the kind of way that Damon Albarn, the musician behind Gorillaz, addresses environmental things. And the storyline of Gorillaz, they all escape to Point Nemo, the furthest point away from any landmass on Earth, to this collection of plastic that's collected in the middle of the ocean to gather collaborators of music and release this amazing album. And that they did. It's very hard to come like back from an album like Demon Days. And it took a little while for me to fully enjoy Plastic Beach, which isn't to say I hated it originally, but it took me a little while to see it in any way even close to Demon Days. I thought Demon Days was so good. But even looking back, like the song White Flag, I'll talk really fast.
Yeah, how about it?
It was done and performed by a Syrian orchestra. Sleeping from all the diseases that I breathe in. Look, respect the island, no stealing. And don't bring religion here, no free kings. Integrated them, we ain't leaving. We come on a peace sing. White flag, white flag. And Gorillaz ultimately went on to become one of the first, like, English bands to perform in Lebanon back when that was a place.
Shout out to Tark.
Right? And they kind of broke ground with pushing the idea of collaborating with music onto not just different artists and different genres, but pulling into different cultures and doing that, and then bringing that into pop mainstream music, which is really cool.
And the thing with Plastic Beach is it took them 5 years to go from Demon Days to Plastic Beach, and Plastic Beach sounds very different and is...
nothing like...
like Demon Days, and this the nice thing about the Gorillaz is... or Gorillaz. Nice thing about them is that they... each album you will just hear a random song from the... say, Random Song for Humans, Random Song from Plastic Beach. They cannot interchange albums. And that's... it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. In this case, it's a very good thing because it really separates each album as their own artwork. Because some bands, you can interchange songs and they'll, like, the albums won't change at all. We've said that
plenty. We complained about that.
Yeah, we've said that plenty of times on Audio Face, and this, they don't do that. It's Plastic Beach. The theme, it feels like you're on a beach. It feels like, it's like, I mean, they put the soundscapes in it of waves crashing, birds in the distance, foghorns.
The motifs all there.
And every song fits that. And you have this feeling whenever you listen to that album of, like, that's Plastic Beach, Demon Days, that's Demon Days. And every album they've put out has done that. And that's very rare for a band to do that. I love Plastic Beach too.
They're phenomenal at picking themes and going with them. Before we continue, I want to talk about like particular songs, like in general from the past three that we've really liked. We kind of touched a little bit on the first one, but on Demon Days, probably one of my favorite songs of all time is on Demon Days, which is November Has Come featuring Gorillaz and Doom. A rapper bug zapper, and it don't matter after if there's a thug or dapper. Plug your trap or it's maximum exposure. The beast got family members asking up for closure. Send him a gun and tell him clean it. Then go get the nun who said her son didn't mean it. She wore a filled in thong or billabong and said, nah, for real, I'm a gorilla, I'm a gorilla, John. Something is starting today. Where did he go? Why you wanted to be where you know November has come. MF Doom. Back when Doom was like in his prime.
That's 2005 Doom. That's Mad Villain.
That's Mm Food. That's all the classics.
Canisius.
Yeah. Every Planet We Reach Is Dead from Demon Days is something they've started to bring back now on the Humans tour. Mm-hmm. But it was just this beautiful, soulful, like classic rock piece in the middle of an album where you really wouldn't expect something like that. Dreams are bad. I hit a man, I love the girl, but God only knows it's getting hard to see the sun coming through. And that song sticks out as like an underdog in that album that really like kind of bring it all together. But then you just got like, now I'm kind of going to Plastic Beach. There's Rhinestone Eyes, there's Stylo with, you wouldn't think to combine Bobby Womack's like really soulful, powerful voice with Most Def.
For me, Demon Days, the song Demon Days is fucking fantastic.
Demon Days.
And like three of my favorite songs: Demon Days, Last Living Souls. On a repeat, and then Dirty Harry. I love it because it's just in the middle, it'll just switch, and then you get this super hard rap part that just goes off. And seeing that live was fucking awesome. It was so tense.
A lot of what's cool with
Yeah, other than for Plastic Beach, there's like way too much, to be honest. But probably like, I like Super Fast Jellyfish.
I was just thinking about
Super
that.
Fast Jellyfish is really good.
A whole line of breakfast you got time for.
Super fast, I come in last. But just in time for breakfast. Keep it true, forever blue. Good night, prosectors, luminum, a crucial firm, aluminum. The sea is radioactive, the sea is radioactive.
All hail King Neptune and his water breathers. No snail thing too quick for his water feeders.
Don't and then, Mama Blinky, what's the other one with Mustaf?
Sweepstakes.
You're a winner.
Okay, let's eat. Sweepstakes.
Yeah, Sweepstakes and Super Fast Jellyfish are awesome. Those are my two favorite on Plastic Beach.
I really like Rhinestone Eyes.
Rhinestone Eyes, yeah, and Empire Ants. Empire Ants, it's, I know not too many people like that song.
I like it live a little better than the
live is a bit better, but I like both.
Another thing really fast, Gorillaz live sounds extremely different.
It's
from,
like Radiohead live. Yeah. Or some of the good bands live. Very different.
We don't get to talk about this that much on the show because we're just like reviewing things really fast. We're always reviewing recorded things. But a really big barometer of what I will respect in an artist is how they perform live. Because not every artist translates well live to recording or vice versa. Some people are very better in either one. But a band that can be good in both, but not just good in both, but can bring something distinct to their sound. Because when you see Gorillaz live, not only is it like a different visual experience, because you're getting these like massive high definition cartoons doing all these crazy shit, but you're also getting a different sonic experience because you can bring like out an entire orchestra, an entire brass section, and a string section and a wind section to do certain parts of these songs and really bring them to life.
Yeah. very, especially with all the collaborations too. And I mean, that we can go to humans now, right?
Or speaking of a lot of collaborations, is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, should be it really. So humans is, well, I mean, we could briefly go over The Fall. The Fall is like a little iPad album that Damon made when he was bored on tour on the Plastic Beach.
And, yeah.
It's not that it's extremely experimental. I mean, there are a couple good songs like Revolving Doors and the Spider song, whatever. The Joplin Spider.
Joplin Spider.
Those two songs are kind of cool, especially Revolving. Warming Doors does go hard.
Revolving doors, what will I become? In the redneck sun, he paid up for a seven, but he only got an eight. And now I feel that I'm paused by all the pills.
The rest of the album is just super experimental on him literally fucking on an iPad.
It's like, I have an iPad, which in 2010 was fairly novel. And the idea that he, the idea that like a major artist, quote unquote, although this is mostly just Damon Albarn, released an album using only an iPad was like, oh wow, this is cool for what the technology,
like the technology
can do.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's also D-Sides, which was the B-Sides album for Demon Days. Unfortunately, there wasn't anything like that released for Plastic Beach. No. I think that would have been cool because Damon always likes to brag about, oh yeah, for every album we make like 80 songs and we cut it down to 15. Humans, they didn't quite cut it down to 15.
Humans, which they released last year, and I gave a lot of, I didn't give it a bad review, but I gave it a lot of critique because we like Gorillaz a lot. I like Gorillaz a lot. And I told him, hey, slow the fuck down. This is a star fuck and it sound like, the album didn't necessarily have a sound. It was so all over the place, and there was too much in between shit of like, I switched my robot off.
Elevator, go up.
Right.
Like really random in between stuff that just didn't fit with the album, and it was too long. It had some fucking bangers in it. There was fantastic songs in there. Really woke shit too, and craziness as always, but
I mean, like you had Vince Staples,
Ascension.
De La Soul, Return Back. There were some really like good songs in like the deeper kind of the album. Like I liked Let Me Out featuring Young Pusha T. Tell me that they'll listen if it's lessons that I teach. Tell me there's a heaven in the sky where there is peace. But until then, I keep my peace and arms. And my passion to the light. When I'm looking at you, I'm all the world is out of your hands. Another night. You got to die in bitter love. If you want to live, The Apprentice with Rag and Bone Man, Zebra Cats, Ray Black. Out of Body with Kylo Kush.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. Sex Murder Party goes so hard. I love that song so much.
And then this moment.
Now lay down to rest and wait for the morning hangover to come. Watch on the world, the watches on the wrist. It's the moment we relive. It's the moments like this. And it's time to get ill. We be so ahead of time. It's the moment we achieve. Let's believe it's the moment.
And then there's moments. And you love Strobe Light too, it goes hard. And we've, like, just in doing
Strobe
this,
Light's my favorite. Oh, man. Obsidian, is this how it
just in doing this, we've named like half the album. And so that says like the album was...
But the problem is we named half the album with seven songs. That's half the album. Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's too long.
Yeah. There was a lot... I think the Humans album felt the least constrained in the sense that what Gorillaz had done really well to a T is put in a lot of craziness, but pull it back so that it's not overwhelming, so you still have like a complete... product that feels cohesive and something that works. Humans, and I think that's because Damon Albarn led most of the production for this, whereas in previous albums he had help from Dan the Automator from the first album, the original Dan Nakamura. Danger Mouse, legendary Danger Mouse, helped produce Demon Days. And I think they're like random bits of help on Plastic Beach too. But I think Damon really needs that to almost like Kanye West or Kid Cudi, the way we were describing earlier. Yeah. He has a lot of potential there, but if you don't constrain that and go, here's what we cut, here's what we add, you don't be really judicious with that, then it goes all over the place.
Yeah, and then it's just a star fuck. It also happened with Humans.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But I mean, there was some good stuff in there. So hopefully this one, so far, I've only listened to 2 songs and I'll find out on Friday, obviously.
I could really talk about Gorillaz for ages if I had to. But now that we've caught up with, you know, a brief primer of what Gorillaz are about, up until at least their last album, The Now Now, we can then throw in the Now Now review. So let's listen to that.
Now Now.
It's like, what, 11 songs and 40 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very different from Humans.
Yeah, want me to go first, or do you want to go first for this?
I'll go first, because you often start off album reviews. I generally let you do it, and fuck it, my podcast. I think this is a really good album. Really, really good. Humility seems to be the really popular song off of it, and that's how the album begins.
Calling the world from isolation, 'cause right now that's the ball where we be chained. And if you're coming back to find me, you better have good aim.
Which, I mean, apparently begins really well. I think Humility is kind of the soft, on like peppy, on melancholy hillish kind of song off of this album. It invokes a lot of that kind of happy, poppy tone, even though, I guess On Melancholy Hill is definitely more sad.
No, hence the name.
Yeah, but Humility is very different. It shifts a different tone for Gorillaz in general, because in the lore, like, Murdoch is out of the picture, is replaced by Ace from the Powerpuff Girls, which is hilarious. 2D is like acting more like the frontman of the group rather than like Murdoch pulling the strings in the idea of it. But really, this is just Damon Albarn kind of holding himself back, and like the production holding itself back a little bit from Humans, which was good, but was kind of all over the place.
Which was just a clusterfuck.
That's not what this is, because there are very few features on here. It's just Humility and then Hollywood featuring Snoop Dogg and Jamie Principal, which is really good.
It's a fucking good song.
With a big fat chain on my neck. Little did they know, no sweat. So I dimmed out, rimmed out, and cracked the glass. 25 pounds, can you match that bag? 'Cause if not, raise up. I got a deal to make, and a couple bad bitches I've been making to break. Waking the bake, I put the cake on the plate. Jealousy in me.
It's got everything I love in a Gorillaz song, but I'll get to that in a moment. And then other songs which are just like nice synth sounding good songs. Like, it's Gorillaz' bread and butter that's really in there. And so that's kind of towards the second half of the album, and technically the album's divided into 2 parts. The second part beginning with Lake Zurich, but it's not really too relevant to it. I listened to it, it's just like that whole piece, start to finish, and I really, really liked it. But what'd you think?
I think the first half of the album is definitely stronger than the second half. I love the first half a lot. I like the second song, Trans. I like it. Hollywood. Kansas is okay. I don't know. There's 2 songs I'm kind of iffy on, which are Kansas and Idaho, ironically states in the U.S. I don't know. I just didn't like them too much. The last song, Sokai. I don't know. That's how you say it. Sokai.
Think about you. Oh, Suki Suki.
I enjoyed a lot, but that first half album, basically going up to Lake Zurich, because I do like Lake Zurich a lot. Magic City, Fireflies are okay, but the whole album as a whole, I like a lot better than Humans. There are tracks on Humans that I like a lot more than the Now. Basically, if they chopped down Humans and made it more coherent like the Now, Humans would be probably my favorite Gorillaz album. But they just made it too crazy. The Now, they ruined the production value of it and they chopped it down into 11 songs instead of a clusterfuck. Made it a lot more coherent. Every song on it sounds like an era. It's like Plastic Beach, Demon Days, where you hear that song, you're like, okay, that's like Plastic Beach era, that's Demon Days era. This is like, okay, that's the Now era. You can feel that. And stay true to their sound, push it a little bit, but nothing too crazy. Yeah, overall, good album. The second half is okay. There's a couple songs on there that felt like filler songs to me, but there were some definitely good songs. That first three, Humility, Trans, and Hollywood, were
goes really
very,
end.
Very
it goes
solid.
Very end.
So the start of the album is very, very strong. And it ends strong. I like the last song a lot.
I like the last two songs. Like the last 1% and Suga 1%, together.
Yeah, I'll give you that. 1%'s okay. And Suga is really, really good. So full album together so to finish is pretty solid.
I just like that with this album, I was reminded why I think I like bands like Gorillaz and what they really have to offer, because I keep trying to offer something really tangible to it. And what that ultimately ends up being is that the composure of these songs is a lot more complex than just like a simple 4-bar repetition mm-hmm. on itself. Like it has codas and it has different parts and normal constructions you have in music, but it's in a very kind of simple pop construction. That's really what works best in this. I think that some of the slower songs on this album, like Kansas, Idaho, Magic City, and Fireflies, they'll grow on me with some time, and even like in a mood, I'll be into them.
Yeah, I think so too.
But it doesn't have like the every song is pretty amazing stopping power that like Demon Days and Plastic Beach had.
Even Humans, there's a lot of tracks in there, you go, oh my god. That we saw. This album doesn't feel like it has any of those real moments, but the whole thing, top to bottom, is very, very coherent.
I think it has a lot of those moments, but it has fewer of those moments than Gorillaz albums have in the past. But I think, as far as a piece and a finished work, having less and not doing as much still is better. But there are individual songs on this that I kind of like the way Sean put it, where Humans had better songs, but more kind of randomness. And then Now has pretty good songs, but it's a little more succinct. So, didn't come up with an arbitrary scale for this. Can you think of one off the top of your head super fast?
Super fast. McDonald's Happy Meals. So, 5 being really shitty because you'll get diabetes and die. 1 being really good. Because you don't want a Happy Meal, because you'd rather be vegetarian and eat like a salad.
Or like, I'm gonna add too much nuance into this, but like, yeah, let's just do Happy Meals. Just don't eat too many of them, I guess. Mm-hmm. This is, and you know what, I think this is apt, because for the next review, we'll explain. But
thank you.
I think this is 2 Happy Meals, but both of them are like substituted with like apples in it. So you get like the healthy alternative to the Happy Meal, but still 2 to where it's like, I'm not sure if I want all of this.
That's me. I was going to say 2 and then substitute, instead of the burger, substitute like chicken nuggets or something like that.
Yeah.
Still, you'll die from them, but
maybe like a juice instead of the soda.
Yeah. Exactly. You get like the little,
like
little
apple juice
box thing that they put. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
They did not pay for advertising on this show and no, you can definitely tell.
Fuck them.
And you can tell. Very, very interesting, not only in the story of Gorillaz itself, but the story of Sean and I as Gorillaz fans. It's really interesting how he came out of the Now review. Gorillaz kind of refreshed, looking for new heights, but us not necessarily wanting Damon Albarn to rush and make new music. Damon Albarn did not listen to us. He did his own projects, and then it turns out Gorillaz was going to be getting a reboot as well in 2020. But the Song Machine project has been pretty fucking good. Like, I gotta be real. These are some of the best Gorillaz songs that have come out in almost a decade, I would say. Not that the Gorillaz songs that came out in the 10s were bad. I mean, Plastic Beach, I still consider to be like really phenomenal. Humans, though it was a bit of a mess, you know my opinions. I've generally over the years come to enjoy specific songs on it more. And the Now Now I appreciate for its clean slate kind of nature. And Sean appreciates the Now Now's lead single Humility for its subtle anti-Brexit message. That's always kind of fun. But yeah, I guess kind of the annoying thing with Song Machine is the issue with Audioface and how we prefer to listen to albums and take in albums. We like to get a little bit of a tease of the album to begin with, and then that gives us a hint of what to expect. And then we hear the album, we get to have that reaction of understanding how the pieces come together all at once for the first time. And then from there, we can kind of build our review from a perspective that is very close to the way people listen to albums. They don't know a lot coming in, they listen to it for the first time, they have a good feeling about it, they save some songs, and they go on. Song Machine, while it is a really innovative kind of way of releasing an album and doing an album rollout project from like a music standpoint, as a Gorillaz fan, I accidentally heard the majority of Gorillaz' new album before it came out. I probably would have done that anyways as a Gorillaz fan, and some of the songs we haven't talked about on Audioface yet that we're saving for the Gorillaz review are things I'm holding on, but I will say that was a little bit of an interesting move that they took, that they wanted to release as much as they could throughout 2020, even before COVID happened, just to kind of get an idea to ultimately release this album as it came out. Sean was definitely right, because I assumed that Damon wouldn't release the whole album, but of course Damon does whatever the fuck he wants to, so sure. But nevertheless, there's still a lot about Song Machine Season 1 that we have not talked about yet. There's the collaboration between Gorillaz and Beck that I have been wanting since I was a teenager that I finally get to hear with the album. That should be very exciting. And Sean and I are gonna have all of our thoughts about that on a future episode of Audioface. As I'm recording this, I think it's gonna be number 163, but the artist titles are in the titles of the episode, so just look for that and you'll find it roughly in the same area as this one is. Anyways, thank you very much for listening to me talk about Gorillaz for at least over half an hour. One of my favorite bands. You don't have to understand why, but if you do understand why, I've given you enough information, and I appreciate it, because I really do believe they are the truest celebration of the art of contemporary music as it exists today. And a building block for other bands and groups to build off of and grow and continue the art of contemporary music. Thank you for being interested in the art of contemporary music, so much so that you're listening to this podcast about that art. I really appreciate it. Sean, I know, really appreciates it. We all do at Audioface. Make sure you're subscribed to us at Twitter and Instagram at AudiofacePod. Leave a nice review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. At the bare minimum, subscribe and follow so you don't miss any new episodes. That's all. Thank you for watching and listening, and we will talk to you soon with some more new music. Cheers!